This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Necessary Roughness with 11-year NFL veteran, Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year, and captain of the National Championship Michigan Wolverines, John Jansen. And 10-year NFL veteran, two-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle, and Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, T.J. Lang. Now, here's John Jansen and T.J. Lang.
Well, TJ, it's been a while. I know both of us have had a few things going on since the end of the regular season, the Super Bowl, since the end of the postseason. And now we are at the Combine. We're not there. I wish we were. But the Detroit Lions showed up at the Combine today. Brad Holmes joined Costa and I this morning. And this is the time of year where you start trying to figure out what next year is going to look like. We already know that Tracy Walker's not going to be back. They released him. Your thoughts on some of the things that the Lions need to do this offseason. When you think about the combine, the draft, obviously free agency is going to be the first opportunity to add players. Where do you think the Lions go? What do they do?
Well, there's three things that come to mind. And one's Jared Goff, two's Amon-Ra St. Brown, and three is Penei Sewell, who I think is going to be eligible for the first time in his rookie contract for an extension. We know that's their MO. We know Brad Holmes, you know, draft, develop, keep our guys, right? We've seen that the last couple of years, whether that was, you know, John Kaminsky and Alex Anzalone last year, wanting to keep the guys that you trust, that you know fit the mold of this team. I think those three guys, you know, that I mentioned are clearly the priorities when you talk about, you know, improving and not just staying the same, but giving yourselves a chance to be even better than you were last year. And that was interesting. I heard you with Brad this morning. He said, you know, a lot of times it's not about, you know, hey, how can we find one or two guys to, you know, put us over the hump, but how can we improve? How can we basically not get worse? Right.
Right.
And that was kind of the MO. And look, Jared Goff, I mean, the contract, we talked about it a lot the past probably year and a half was, you know, do you trust him? Do you want to sign him? You know, what number does that look like? Right. Is he a guy that if you give big money to, is he going to be able to fill some of the voids that you're going to have because you're not going to have some of those expenses? Look, I think, you know, after the playoff run, I was comfortable saying, you know what, it's probably going to cost a little bit more money than if you did it 6 months or a year ago. But I think we feel more comfortable because we've seen Jared Goff now, and we've seen Jared Goff improve every single year since he's been here, right? Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell, obviously two of the most valuable guys on this team. I don't really care what those numbers look like. Sign a 4 or 5 year deal. Get it done, right? I just want the comfort of knowing that those guys are going to be leading this team, you know, for the next 4 or 5 years. So that's priority 1, 2, and 3 for me, to take care of your own guys before you really start to dive into not only this combine process and the free agent class and the draft. I think as long as you take care of, you know, what's in house first and foremost, you know, that's gonna give you a good kind of springboard into the rest of this offseason.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Now, I'm not a huge fan of the combine process. I think it's a whole lot of wasted time. I think there's going to be a lot of pro days that these teams are going to go to. They're obviously going to be able to invite guys to their facility. I think it's 30 guys that they can invite to their facility. But there's going to be no shortage of opportunity, especially with, and we learned this, the ability to, you know, whether it's, you know, whatever remote type of meeting that you want to have, you can have interviews with as many guys as you want. And I think the interviews is probably more the thing, because you turn the film on and you see, can a guy play football or not? What does, and maybe a 40 time separates a guy from being a, you know, from being a second round pick to early in the second round. I just don't know what you're going to see at the combine, in my opinion, that's going to boost kids. Where do you land on the importance of the combine being an evaluative tool?
Lower on the chain, I guess. Yeah. I think it can only hurt some of the high-end guys. I certainly think it could help some of the lower-end guys. I was a guy that I didn't go to the combine. I missed out by a couple votes, a vote or two. Yeah. I felt like it probably could have helped me coming out of Eastern Michigan back then, you know, where, you didn't really have all this testing in the camps. Like, people know now basically what guys' 40 time is when they're in college.
Right.
You know? We didn't really have that. You had the pro day and the combine to kind of prove that. But with all these camps they do now, they know what these kids are running at 17, 18 years old. I'm sure they get faster, but there's a lot more stats nowadays than there was 20 years ago. I felt like it could have helped me, but, you know, I think it's more of a kind of, you know, let's make sure, right? Let's make sure. We know we like this kid. You know, we know we like the film. We know we like his attitude. We know we like his leadership. We've kind of already done a lot of that, you know, investigating and kind of work, you know, talking to coaches and teammates and parents and high school coaches. You already know all those type of things. Let's just go kind of validate what we already know, right? And that's where I say, you know, it can really only hurt some of the top end guys, right? Where, you know, if Marvin Harrison goes and runs a 4.3, is it going to be like, oh my God, Marvin Harrison, he's even, like, we already know the guy's a freak. But if he goes and runs a 4.6, it's gonna be like, well, okay, like maybe take a step back a little bit, right? I think that's gonna be a bigger impact. But I think that it's probably more important, John, and you, I know you went to the combine. It's probably more important, I would say, the interview aspect of it. Getting guys in front of, you know, coaches and getting guys in front of a whiteboard and seeing if they can just draw up simple plays and see if they can comprehend and hold on to information and kind of give that back. That's more football related than a lot of these vertical jumps and, you know, the shuttles and everything that they're doing now. I think that's more important, is how do you mentally get into these kids' heads a little bit and find out what kind of football player they are. I think that's one of the hardest tasks that scouts have, which is why I think that the more time you get face-to-face with somebody and just learn about them and talk to them and kind of understand what kind of person, what kind of player they are, that's where you get the most value from. I don't think it's necessarily with a lot of the on-field work that we see at the combine.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things that I really think that Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, and this front office has been able to do, is to be able to sit in a room with guys, for the most part, and find out how much do they care about football, how much do they know about football, and, you know, like, what type of – are they individuals that you want to put in this locker room? Are they guys – that will ultimately mesh with Dan Campbell and his coaching staff? I think they've done, for the most part, a pretty good job of walking that line, figuring out who are the guys that are going to be able to be coachable. Who are the guys that you want to depend on come December? It may not be, you know, in September that you're going to be looking at a guy going, hey, you know, Are we expecting him to come out of the gates fast? You'd love to, but by December and January, are they going to be players that we are now counting on to go out there and make plays?
Yeah, and I think we know that this regime wants guys that are just obsessed with football.
Yeah,
that it's not about the money, it's not about the fame or anything like that. We don't have any divas on this team, and I think that's why, you know, in that playoff run, a lot of America was starting to kind of root for the Lions a little bit because they're easy to root for. They just work hard, man. They just care about football. We don't have any divas and superstar guys that you're seeing on 30 different commercials. You know what I mean? Like, there's a kind of aspect of this team that's the way they build it. And I think that Penei Sewell, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Aiden Hutchinson, the core guys that they've brought in over the past couple drafts have just been obsessed with football. How can I get better? How can I be the best football player in the freaking world, man? Like, that's all that matters. And they've got a recipe because, like you said, they found a lot of guys that fit that mold. And I don't think that's easy to do. I think especially with nowadays with kids, and they go through training, right? Just, you know, I remember, you know, when I was training for the pro day and combine, we'd spend just as much time, you know, practicing interview questions. So you know how to respond to a GM or a coach sitting in front of you. And so you know what I mean? You got to get through kind of the bullshit a little bit, the layer there to really get deep. And they've got a formula and they've got a recipe that works because we know that they found the guys that fit that mold, and they're going to continue to seek. They're going to continue to put more value on those type of players that fit that mold because we just know that's how they want to build this team. And you know what? Brad Holmes came with the receipts a couple weeks ago. I mean, he's right, man. So, you know, I think I trust them to go find the right players, whether it's first round picking later, whether it's the fourth round, to go find guys that can come and help this team.
So regardless of whether it's filled by a free agency, whether it's filled in the draft or a trade, what are the top three needs that you want to see addressed this offseason? And we'll talk in next week, maybe before free agency starts. We still got some time before we start identifying individuals that we want to see here, or at least we want to target. And the draft, obviously, that's a couple months away. But just the areas of need, what are the biggest needs that you need to see addressed this offseason?
Specifically, I think interior defensive linemen. Look, those guys are hard to find, guys that can play three down. We know Ali McNeil is a hell of a player, you know, probably a better run defender at this point of his career than a pass rusher. He's not labeled as one of those guys. I think if you can find another guy to put in interior pressure on passing situations to help Aiden Hutchinson out, to help your secondary out, that's huge. You know, we've seen what kind of impact a Chris Jones guy can make, and he's a freak. You know, you're not going to go say, hey, let's find the next Chris Jones. Like, there's only one Chris Jones, right? But you see what kind of impact those players have, and it's outstanding. It's tremendous. Number two, I'd probably say offensive line. You know, that's been a strength of this team now for three straight seasons. And you got a couple gaps. We don't know what's going to happen with Graham Glasgow. We don't know what's going to happen with Jonah Jackson. That's 40% of your starting offensive line, right?
Right.
That's a big chunk. That's a big chunk of your offensive line. So, and look, we know that Jared Goff is still that quarterback that he's really good. He can fill in some of the voids, but with a subpar, mediocre offensive line, I don't know if I want to see that experiment, right? So that would be probably the second highest on my levels of need and just importance of what you got to do. I think third, probably defensive back. You know, I go back and forth on defensive back and maybe wide receiver. You know, Josh Reynolds had a huge impact on this team. We know everybody's going to remember the NFC Championship game and a couple drop passes. Bottom line is, he was a huge part of this team throughout the season. Big reason why they got to that point. He's a free agent, right? What are you going to do with a guy like that? We know that role in this offense is vital. You know, DJ Chark filled it a couple years ago. The guy outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now, could that be Jameson Williams going into year three? Could be, right? But I think they're going to need to fill that void. In the secondary, we know it's kind of non-negotiable. You have to find a number one corner. Yeah, right? We've kind of seen now – but you got a bunch of guys that are scrappy and bulldogs and you can respect and admire, but you know, we know how important having a number one corner is in this league and just taking away passing threats from the opposition. So those would probably be my top three. I know I kind of heard you a couple weeks ago talking about yours, maybe last week, and offensive line was
it's right there
on yours, right?
Mine is more, I mean, I would love to see a Chris Jones type player, especially a guy that could play inside and outside, because you're kind of addressing two situations where you need another edge rusher But yeah, defensive line, O line, and then a cover corner. That in that order, 1, 2, and 3. Now, let me ask you this, because, and like I said, next week we'll talk more individual guys that maybe we would like to see targeted in free agency. You mentioned Penei Sewell, eligible for an extension. Now, he's got 2 years left on his rookie deal. He's got that fourth year plus the fifth year option, but he could sign a new contract. If he signs a new deal, it's going to be a monster deal. I think he is, other than Trent Williams, maybe, I mean, you're splitting hairs when you're talking about the best offensive tackles, but I think he is one of them, and probably the best young offensive tackle. If you're going to be paying a premium, you're probably for Jared Goff, because he is a right-handed quarterback. He is very immobile. Going to want him eventually on that left side. Now, I'm not saying get rid of Taylor Decker, but let me just throw this scenario, especially since you're an interior guy. Okay. Just all listen right. to me.
I think I know where you're going. All right.
You go out there and you sign a right tackle. You bump Penei Sewell over to left, and then you put Taylor Decker right next to Sewell at left guard. Is Decker, could he be the type of player that I don't want to put him on the right side? He's spent his entire life coming out of his left-handed stance. I don't even want to ask him to see if he can do it, go over to the right side. But what type of left side would you be looking at with Frank at center, Decker, and Sewell on the left side?
Well, this is an interesting game. First of all, I think Taylor Decker would walk right upstairs and ask for a trade if you told him you wanted to do that. Look, we know tackles. It's, you know, left
I'm not saying take
a different species.
Yeah,
right? They want to be their left tackle.
Yeah.
That's their spot. They want
on
to
the
stay
offensive
there, right?
line. Yeah, yeah, they're the face guys.
We know the left tackles. That's their spot.
Me.
In a hypothetical world, but I don't think that would work anyways. I mean, Taylor Decker is, I played with him for a couple years, right? You understand what kind of player he is. He fits the mold of a tackle where it's patience. Right. I know my game. He's not an over aggressive guy, which I think you need to be at guard. Things happen a little bit quicker. I think it would be weakening probably two positions if you were to make that move. I would rather just sign a guard and just keep your tackles the same and fill in one of those voids there. I've been a part of teams that have tried that before. Hey, let's just bump the tackle down to here. I don't think I've ever seen it really succeed. Maybe with the guy who's a veteran, like Jason Peters is a guy who played left tackle forever in the league, right? Then he kind of sat out a couple of years. Then he wanted to come back. And it's like, all right, he doesn't really have the feet he used to have. Maybe let's put him in at guard and see how he does there. And he, you know, made another couple of years out of his career there. Wasn't great, but, you know, found a different home. I still think at this point of his career, Taylor Decker, I would consider still to be in his prime. Right. So I think if he was kind of an aging guy that said, hey, we got to find a spot for him, you know, we want to reshape the offense, so maybe you could think about that. But I don't think we're at that point now. I would rather just them go either sign Jonah Jackson back. I don't know what that's going to look like to give you a little bit more stability, at least. But we know he's had some injury issues. Nothing that I think is going to hinder him the rest of his career. But I think I would rather fill that void either with a draft pick or with a free agent. Guard coming in to play that position. I think once you start musical chairs, then, you know, it's going to take the whole summer to kind of get used to new stances and new, and then it starts rolling into the season. And then, hey, maybe you're behind a little bit. I just think at that point where they're at right now, you've got a all pro start, you know, center, you got an all pro right tackle, and you've got probably a top six left tackle in the game. I wouldn't mess with that. I got a question for you though. And I know we'll get into this a little bit more, you know, as free agency starts to develop here in a couple of weeks. But there was big news coming out, you know, late last week about the salary cap and the jump that it made.
Yeah.
I want to know if you were like me. Do you think that that's going to help or hurt the Lions when it comes to free agency this year? Because I've got a different spin on it.
Well, I mean, so when the salary cap goes up, it goes up for everybody.
Everybody, right.
So I think that, I mean, okay, let's just take Kansas City, for example. They're over the salary cap. They're going to try and find ways. And they have two players that I think would be great additions for the Lions, two players that everybody in the NFL would want, Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed. Before the bump, before that big of a bump, I thought both of those guys, or at least one of them, would come available. Now I don't think either of them do. And so in terms of what does this mean for the Lions, I think the Lions are going to have a lot of money to spend. I'm not sure they're going to have anywhere to put it. Like, I think a lot of guys are going to be re-signed or franchise tagged, because we're in that window right now as well. And I don't know that there's going to be a lot of guys that they want to go out and spend a whole bunch of money on. Danielle Hunter would be about the only one, just because, and this is something that it's been reported. I don't know that it's fact, because I haven't seen it, but when he signed his extension, part of it, one of the stipulations was that they couldn't use the franchise tag on him. So he could become available.
Yeah. So my reaction was, first reaction was like, oh my God, yeah, more money to play.
Right.
My second reaction was, damn, because we know that, and I'm not trying to be negative here, but we know that Brad Holmes is not going to overpay.
Right.
So I think that this increase, you know, you look at teams like Chicago and Washington that are at the top with, you know, $80, $90 million. Let's say you were to go in on a Chris Jones type guy. And you said, we're going to pay him. We want to get right up there, make him the highest paid.
Yeah, $28 million a year.
$28 million bucks a year. Now Washington's sitting there saying, we just got an extra $20 million. Let's pay him 30.
Yeah.
Right? Let's pay him 32. What if the Bears say, you know what? Screw it. We really want him. We're going to pay him 35. I think that's going to take you out of some of those big targets, because
right,
there's going to be teams now that are going to have more resources to pay a lot more money. We know those teams genuinely fail. They're usually bad because they do overpay, right? We know the Lions' MO is not, we're not going to overpay. We're going to try to find good value players at a price that we want them at. You know, I don't think the Lions are going to be a team that want to, are going to get into a bidding war and say, we're going to do anything we can to get, you know, L'Jarius Sneed or Danielle Hunter or any of these other high-priced yeah, free agents, because you're going to have other teams that are going to say, what are they offering? 20 a year? Well, we'll give you 22, right? I just, in that aspect, it kind of made me scratch my head a little bit saying, damn, maybe that kind of takes the Lions out of the running for some of these
premier guys.
Talk about top 10 guys,
right?
Maybe they start to feast a little bit more on those 25 to 50 ranked guys that are the next kind of group, the next tier of free agents.
Yeah.
So, I just want to know if you had the same reaction, because I looked at it and I'm like, damn, like that just means teams are going to be overspending like crazy
yeah,
to get some of these high priced guys. And I know, we know the Lions are not going to do that.
Right.
Brad Holmes has proved that he's not going to do that. So it was kind of a down, it was exciting for me at the same time, but it was kind of a downer where I'm like, damn, man, like,
yeah,
you know, maybe you're going to have to just stick with what you've been doing in some of the 1 year deals and say, you know, we'll give you a 1 year high price deal, right? Because we know, even if you sign Jared Goff and Penei Sewell and Amon-Ra, the first couple of years of those hits are usually pretty low, right?
Right.
So I think you're going to have some room to maybe get some veteran guys, or maybe get some guys on expiring contracts from other teams that you can say, you know what, we'll give you a 1 year extension, a 2 year extension, whatever it is. I think they're going to go more of that path. I think it just kind of ruined the dream for me about going to get, you know, a Chris Jones type player or one of these
right,
like really high end free agents. I think it kind of, I think that dream is kind of squashed.
Yeah. So for you, it was other teams overpaying for those. For me, it was the teams that they're currently on overpaying
yeah,
to
right,
keep them.
Yeah.
And,
we got,
and
we
either
got
way,
we can fit them now.
Yeah.
Right?
Either way, we don't get a bite at that apple.
Yeah. Right. So
damn it.
I always have like this like negative. Okay. How does
yeah,
this affect it? Okay, it's good, but hold on, what's the bad part? You know what
yeah,
I mean? I don't know, pessimist, whatever you want to call it. But we'll see. I mean, Brad Holmes, you know, he's got a lot of flexibility this year, you know. And I know, you know, he said, hey, we're going to be in a different spot than we were last year. We didn't have as much money. We still were able to find a couple nice pieces. We're going to be in a different spot, but, you know, we're going to have to balance that budget a little bit and see where we can fit some pieces. So it'll be interesting, but I'm sure we'll hit more on it in the next couple weeks when the combine gets rolling and then we start going into free agency. It'll be interesting to see what kind of conversations
yeah,
this team is having when it comes to finding ways to improve this roster.
Well, before free agency hits, they're going to have to put a tag, the franchise tag, on guys that are going to have it. So we'll know who's not going to be available because of the franchise tag. We'll also know get a better indication of where the Lions may or may not go. And we'll have some names available for you, because in the next couple of weeks, I think it's the 13th of March, right around there, in terms of when the new league year starts. Obviously, free agency, the tampering, legal tampering period will be 2 days ahead of, 48 hours ahead of when free agency starts. So we'll bring you some names in the coming weeks as to who we think the Lions should target, will target, and then obviously reaction after we find out who they did target in free agency. Thanks for sticking with us. Necessary Roughness.